Okay. Hello, my name is Luboš Koňák and I'm going to have a talk about... So, now you can hear me? Now?
Okay.
So, once again, hello, my name is Luboš Koňák and I'm going to give a talk about KDE performance. And before we actually start, let's do a small poll. This notebook is 900 megahertz something notebook, so it's not very fast. And I have KDE here running. And the question is, in how many seconds, if I log out and log in again, in how many seconds the login will be complete? So let's start. Raise your hand if you think this slow notebook will do it in more than 30 seconds.
More.
Pessimist. Okay, more than 20 seconds. More than 10. More than 5. Less than 5. Nobody. Oh.
How many memory is it?
200 and... Yeah, 256.
No, you're not
starting that. It's going to be from typing StarCare and we will use this modern technology to measure the time. So... It actually hits a 6, but it can end up in 5. So, okay, those 4 or how many was? Those guys tried. Wow, and it is a fully usable KDE actually, but it's stripped down a bit, for example. I need all the fonts back now. But otherwise it's... You have the icons, you have K-Desktop, you have Kicker running. Oh, sorry. But you could see that it actually could do it in let's say, 5-6 seconds on a relatively slow computer. But okay, I cheated a bit on you because I stripped really everything I didn't need, but it is still KDE. I didn't modify this KDE script or something like that. But you can see now that it's slow. So we will start with some theoretical intro about why KDE actually is kind of slow. Managers probably know this rule as the good, cheap and fast. For optimizing KDE is better said as good, it's in good quality, in time, that it's ready in time, and fast, meaning it has a fast, good performance. And the rule itself says that you have to pick two because you cannot have all of them at the same time. Because basically, if you want a good quality, you need to spend a lot of time of it, and you don't have the time to work on the performance. And about the same is true for the remaining two. And since basically, if you have three applications and one of them is slow, the other one is broken and the third one will definitely be perfect, but only next year. The slow one is actually not that bad because it is there and it works, and if it does the job, it's not that bad, it's just slow. So when developers work on the software, performance is usually the last thing they care about. That time is limited. But if you find the time, you first need to find out what to improve. There is the 80-20 rule, which says that 80% of the time is spent in 20% of the code. So first, you actually need to find out what to improve, and you need to work on what matters. If you just decide that postfix increment operators are slow, and you decide that you will change them everywhere in KDE to prefix because it's slightly faster, it will be a good exercise, but for your hands only. There will be absolutely no visible result. So you first need to find out what to improve. The simplest method, of course, is just guessing. I think it's slow because, yeah, that. But that's the simplest and it's the wrong method because you will usually guess wrong. Let's have another poll. Sorry, no kitten picture this year. This is the Gwenvi image viewer, and the image is actually quite large. It's 4,000 pixels large, so it's scaled down a lot. And if I now you can see that when it's scaling the picture, it's actually quite slow. And the painting is done in four steps. The painting operation has four phases. Because the painting is done progressively, you first need to get only the small part of the picture you are going to paint. Then you have to downscale it. You have to prepare it for a format that you can send to the X server. And you actually need to send it to the X server. In other words, actually painted. So it's getting a sub-image, scaling down, converting, and sending. Now, one of these operations actually takes more than half of the time. And you are not going to guess which one it is. So for the first one, getting the sub-image. Hands up. One. Okay. Okay, two. Scaling down. More. Converting for sending to the X server and actually painting it, sending it to the X server. Yeah, so those two people who guessed just getting this image. Why do you guess so? Because, I mean, it possibly can be just a loop and it's some copying of memory. Why did you guess so? Because you were right.
Because it has to be copied out of the X
service. I actually myself don't understand why it's so slow. It's probably because it's just a lot of data, but it doesn't make any sense. But nevertheless, you can see that most of you guessed wrong. So you actually need to really measure. You need to benchmark, and after you have your fix, you need to really test if it actually makes a difference. I really tested it. I avoided the sub-image, and it really makes it double as fast. So if we are going to benchmark, we need to know how. You can, for example, use Kcache Grind, which was covered in Atoll last year, and I believe you can still find the presentation somewhere. You can just use queue time and measure wall clock time. Simply at the start of main, do queue time t.t.start, and then just print t elapsed, and it will give you milliseconds. You will find the part which takes the longest time. It will be some function, so you will have a call at the beginning, in the middle, in the end, and this way you will eventually find the places which take a long time. When comparing to Kcache Grind, the difference is that Kcache Grind emulates it, so it's not real time, and it may sometimes get it wrong. For example, if there is D this greeting involved. It will show when using uTime, but it won't show when using kcachegram. For memory usage, you can use the massive, how do they call it, invoking, skin. I think they call it skins. It's another skin for well-grained. Or you can use from KDE SDK a tool called KMTrace, which will also show you where the allocations are done in applications. And if you are going to benchmark, you have to keep in mind that discretes make a big difference. One of the reasons why the login was so fast was that because I logged out and immediately logged in. So it actually didn't touch the hard disk at all because it was everything from caches. If it was a cold start, it would take at least 10 seconds, double the time. Disk is really slow. So if you want to avoid that, if you want to measure CPU performance, you need to repeat the test. If you actually want to measure the impact of the discretes, you first need to empty the caches. For example, by running some application which will use all the free memory and then will make the kernel flush the caches. One more thing is bootchar, which you probably know. It's a system-wide tool which gives you yes. This is how the KDE startup looks on SUSE. I think this is the upcoming SUSE 10. The red ones are discretes and the blue ones are CPU usage. Okay, so we have found out some place which is slow, which we want to improve, and we know that it's actually going to make a sense. If you have a slow dialog which tells you you have run out of free disk space, there's really no point in optimizing that because you are going to see it like once a year or so. So how are we going to improve it? The possibly simplest case is just doing code optimizations, like we already mentioned, increment operator. You can do it and you will get like 0.5% performance improvement or so. You can write better loops and whatever. However, it's pretty unlikely that this will make it run twice or four times as fast. It's very rarely that you actually can do it with just code improvements. So first you should try to be smarter. For example, if you have to sort 1 million of numbers, then this way will be that you find that there is 1 million numbers to be sorted and it's using bubble sort, which is incredibly stupid to do, of course. This way, you will just fire up your favorite editor and improve bubble sort. That won't make it any faster. Before, it will take eternity. After you improve the bubble sort, it will need half an eternity. So you can try using a better algorithm, like replacing the bubble sort with quick sort, deep sort. You can cache often used values, or you can find a better format. If you have random access to some collection and you use a linked list, it's much better to use a vector. But on the other hand, if you are often in the middle, it's better to convert a vector to a list. You have to be good at math and stuff like that, and you need to know some theory about this. But on the other hand, it's not so difficult. I mean, if you are adding in the middle of a vector, it's it's simple to see that all the elements after the inserted item have to be shifted by one, and it can take a lot of time. However, the best way is actually asking, do I really need to sort that 1 million of numbers, and do I need to do it now? Because if you change the algorithm, it will definitely make it faster, but if you don't do it at all, nothing can beat it. For example, if the numbers are going to be always the same, you can just do it once, and even before running the application, and you can just use the result in, you can already use the result, and you won't have to do any work about it. Or on the other hand, you can delay it until you really need it sorted, because it may turn out that you don't need to use it at all. And of course, you can cheat. And there are various kind of cheating, like I cheated you with the relogin. It wasn't really KD startup, because I had it already prepared. But there are also other kinds of cheatings, like splash screens. You can consider that to be an optimization, even though it actually makes things slower, because it makes the user believe something is going on, and it seems to be faster. And now we will actually go through some examples in KDE, and you will see examples for every kind of the optimizations, including cheating. Let's start with the simple way. As already said, not doing anything at all can make it really fast. So, for example, another reason why the startup was so fast was that I had really only the minimum KD starting. I turned off everything I didn't need. So I had just the basics, I had Clipper applet, there wasn't even any application being restored but in session management. So every application needs some time to start up, so if you run less applications, it needs definitely less time to start. So you can turn unused one offs, or you can actually merge applications into one. For example, we have so-called KDEP modules, which is for very small daemons. If you have, for example, we have a daemon which just launches applications if you press a shortcut, and it's quite simple. That doesn't need to be a full application. It's just some small module. It gets loaded into this generic daemon, and the startup is noticeably faster. The same way applets in Kicker, they are also part of the Kicker process, so there is no need to do the application initialization again. Even during startup, the K-control initialization, it used to be separate applications, but now they are just modules to be loaded by KSM init, and it again is faster because the application is initialized just once. Also, KParts, the component model, is in process. So for Conqueror reusing. If you have Conqueror showing some local directory and you want to see another directory, it doesn't actually, depending on your settings, it doesn't actually start another Conqueror, but it opens another window in the Conqueror which is already running. It means it's because the Conqueror is already ready, it's faster and it uses less memory. There is the splash screen. You saw it too, it was just the black bar. It's really simple, and therefore it's very fast. And another reason, which I will get later to, is table Sikoka, which needs to do quite extensive check. Here I had it turned off too. This is an example of that actually even code optimizations can make a big difference if done in the right place. KDE very extensively used dynamically allocated memory, maybe even way too extensively. And old GLC versions had really slow locking in their implementation. And when I replaced it with another one, which uses spin locks, which are noticeably faster, it saved one third of the time. Well, it sometimes crashed in very rare cases, but it was fast. It's not enabled anymore by default because now GLXC has much better locking and the performance should be about the same. But you can see it was basically just a small code change and it saved a lot of time. So this is Waldorf's KDE init. You can, well, this is not that important these days. The tool chain got improved. And you can actually find out more about it at the URL posted below. But in short, KDE is very large. And that's actually the fact that KDE is large and complex is actually the basic reason why we are slow, because If you actually benchmark something in KDE, it usually turns that there is not a single place where you can point. Here it's slow, but it usually will more look like a little time is spent here and here and here and here and here, and you have 100 of these places. And if you optimize one, it just is not going to make any real difference. It's simply too complex. It does a lot of stuff and people can claim that, for example, WindowMaker starts faster, but it's just WindowMaker. It doesn't do as much as KDE, so it would be strange if it was actually slower. In this specific case, the problem is that we have large libraries, and they have way too many symbols. And when launching applications, all these symbols need to be bound to. And I actually tried to benchmark it once and I couldn't find any place in the dynamic loader where it was slow these days. It was just because there were so many of the symbols. So the KDE init hack is that actually this usually has to be done for every application started, but KDE init is a very small application which links all KDE libraries, and when it's started, all this library loading is done once. And then if you need to start an application, it forks and the child process just via opens the actual application code, but the libraries are already there, it's already processed, so it's noticeably faster. This is an example of caching and preparing data in advance. We have many .desktop files which describe which applications are installed, which MIME times do we have, which services do we have, and it's at least hundreds of them. And for example, if you wanted to find out how do I open a JPEG image, without this, you will have to check all the MIME-time desktop files, read them, analyze them, and find out how the JPEG image should be handled. That would be, of course, very slow. So instead, usually during KDE startup, or if the desktop files are changed, a process called kbuild-sikoka is run, and it creates a binary cache of all the files. It analyzes them all, processes them and creates a cache in a format which is just mapped to memory, and the application just looks in the cache, quickly finds the entry describing JPEG, and it sees everything it needs to know. However, with every optimization, there is a problem that there are trade-offs. This makes running the application faster, but on the other hand, it makes KDE startup slower, because when you run KDE, it needs to be checked the cache actually is still valid. When you start KDE, it checks all the .desktop files and checks, is my cache newer than this one? Yes. This one, newer. And only if the cache is newer than all the files, you can use it. Otherwise, you have to rebuild it. And actually, in the old days, like KDE 2.1, we used to rebuild this cache every time we started KDE. At that time, SUSE installed a lot of desktop files for all the applications you had installed. It was like thousands of them. And just cable Sikoka took more than half of the time of KDE startup. In my login, I actually had this complete check turned off. It's described as an unsafe option because, well, the check is skipped, but since the desktop files change only very rarely, it's actually quite safe. You can find it in the performance control module. I also mentioned that at the beginning, I needed my fonts back. That was because of font config. If you benchmark KDE application startup right now, you would find two big offenders. One of them would be the font config library, which it has some kind of caches for all the fonts which are installed, but nevertheless, it seems to build some kind of internal representation for all the fonts, and it can waste like half a megabyte of memory in every application, and it needs a lot of time to build this internal representation. And the similar example is the xInput method, which is used for entering accented characters, for composing them. There is a huge file containing information that if you press the compose key and then some character, how it should be combined together to one accented character. And this file, you can actually create your user compose file. But for most users, this file is always the same, and it always analyzed this text file and always built in-memory representation of that. And it was almost as bad as font config. Both these two are now being worked on, and it will use about the same approach like KSikoka. Basically, there will be a tool to run which will prepare the files, and it will be just mapped. After that, it should be noticeably simpler. I actually tried it with like the login was done with only 5 fonts installed, and in the normal setup I had more like 100 fonts, and it doubled the startup time. As already mentioned, disk reading is slow, and especially seeking when you are searching directories, which is one of the reasons why KBL-Sikoka check is still slow. It needs to search all the directories where we have the .desktop files. KDM, since quite recently, you can specify a command in its config file, which can search these directories while you are trying to log in and when the computer is idle. This will put the directories in the kernel caches and when you actually log in. there won't be any discretes. So the effect should be similar to the one of me logging out and logging in immediately, because you should have the data already in memory. There actually should be system support for this. Windows has been doing this for a couple of years already. It actually analyzes what is touched during the startup, and then it reorders the data on the disk into one area, and then it just tries to read it in one big go. And there is still nothing like this on Linux. There is some work going on this, but will we have something like this in SUSE 10?
I'm happy to go in that direction, but I think similar to this.
Yes, sir.
Both in the group or is that?
Another problem can be icon loading. The problem is partially because the icons are stored in many directories and there are many files, so just searching the directories and finding the proper image file can take quite a lot of time. And also just loading the icons can take some time. One solution for this, which is already in KDE, is delayed icon loading. If you start something simple as Scriptwrite, it needs 46 icons, but immediately after the startup, it actually really needs only 16 of them. So when you use a view icon set, K icon loader doesn't really load the icons, but it only remembers the name of the icon, and only when it really needs to show it, it only then loads it. There could be more improvements, for example, for this, because the delayed icon loading still doesn't help with searching the directories. For this, I know GTK since recently has some kind of icon cache, which basically creates one file which contains a list of all the icon files in all the directories, and instead of searching the directories, it just reads this huge file. And the file also actually includes the actual icon data in uncompressed format. So when GTK now reads icons, it just emits this one huge file, finds the right icon and loads it directly from it. However, I think we could use this too, but I'm not really sure about the effects, because the cache file is quite huge, and if it would be loaded as a whole, it would use quite a lot of memory. On the other hand, if you don't read it as a whole, you will have seeking anyway. So I think this should be benchmarked first, but it could be used. Another option could be icon server, which would be a daemon, which would load and cache icons on its own, and when an application starts up and needs an icon, yes?
I'd like to comment about the icon cache, because I think the icon cache would be would bring more improvement if you use better icons, because you could grab that them and render images at right sizes in the cache already, so don't need to render them again.
Yes, perhaps. Actually, it was about using purpose size?
Using vector icons.
Oh, vector. It was about using SVG icons, basically, because you can render the right size and you don't have so many icons, and you can just render the size you have. But this should be actually benchmark again, because it's been a long time since I did it recently.
Normally using an icon cache in mmap, then loading the icon into the application, definitely.
Which
and you have copy on write, so basically it's always shared.
Yes.
Which file system did you use?
TempFS.
And instead of what?
Instead of OptKDE3 for the benchmark.
Yes.
Use on the
hard drive? Compared to Rizer, which is supposed to be fastest with regards to small files. XFS is similar.
Yeah, this was about using TempFS for storing some of these files instead of a real file system, which the TempFS is basically stored in memory, so there were no disk reads. Yes, that can also make things faster.
Yeah, and it's even much faster than a RAM disk, because with a RAM disk you get copying. With TempFS it's just referencing. It's directly in the buffer cache.
Removing the problem entirely, there's a lot of people that are suggesting that Perfor will move to smaller toolbars with, you know, 7 or 8 common actions. And that would simply remove the large number of icons.
It's a question about the toolbar.
Oh yes, is that where most of the icons are coming from?
Yes, most of those 16 icons are really toolbar, because if you start KBrite, I think it shows about 10 icons. Then there is the application icon. Yeah, that's it, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's where the delayed icon loading cannot do anything, because you need to show it immediately.
Yep.
So removing the number of toolbar icons would help, but on the other hand, you probably need the toolbar to be there still.
Yes.
And it also looks like Kasai Koka is also a culprit for slowdowns, because on Linux we use the denotify mechanism of the kernel, and it's a real-time signal which really interrupts all the work which is coming done. We have the context switch. And these signals are emitted if enormous high rates. For example, when you use the YAST to install a new RPM package for KDE, you get hundreds of thousands of signals in a very short period of time, which slow down, for example, the installation of RPMs by at least a factor of 2 or 3. It's enormous.
Yes, it's when you use the KC Koka, we not only have to check during the startup, but also while KDE is running, because it may change if you, for example, install a package and you are already locked in KDE, so the directories have to be watched. And this comment was about the watching mechanism being quite slow, and if you install a package, it can cause many notifications, but I actually believe this is not a real problem, because you very rarely install. I mean, you don't install something every 5 minutes.
It's already the experience when somebody installs a new distribution, they start to add applications. And just doing the installation via YAST, it doubles or triples time.
Well, maybe the watching could be temporarily disabled or something like that, but I think this is not that big problem. We probably have bigger performance problems than this. I think we will keep the discussion for the end. I should continue. Oh yeah, now it's cheating time. So this is something called concurrent preloading, which is actually a completely bad name for it, because it's not preloading. It should be called concurrent reusing, but reusing is already something else. It's when you want to see another directory and you have concurrent running, just tell this instance to open a new window. I have already mentioned this. Concurrent preloading works differently. Let's say you want to view a web page. So you just do Alt F2, enter the address, concurrent fires up, you have a look at the web page, and then you close concurrent. And normally, concurrent would just go away. And next time you want to browse again, it would have to be started again. So this cheating part is actually that when you quit the concurrent, it doesn't really go away. It just hides and tries to clean up. And next time you want to view a web page, No compiler is started. No application initial. No application init is done. Just this hidden instance is shown again, and it's told to show the web page. And this actually makes compiler seem very fast, because you just do Alt F2 and enter something, hit enter, and it's ready almost immediately, because there is almost no work to be done. And in fact, it seems to be so popular that I have noticed requests already to make Kwrite preloaded, console preloaded, and some more applications. But unfortunately, as this is cheating, it's a bit hackish, and there is still open a bug report, which I believe is quite popular and has a high number of votes, about Conqueror keeping this CD-ROM busy, because
I fixed it.
Oh, it's fixed already. Good.
Yeah, that was mine.
But it was open for a long time, and even though actually my code in the preloading was correct, there was some bug in the Conqueror code, which wasn't really visible, because normally you just quit Conqueror and let go of the CD-ROM. But now that you had that you kept it running hidden, the CD-ROM was still busy, and it wasn't really obvious why. So cheating can bring you a huge improvement, but also huge problems. The problem with this is that it's, even technically, it's not very simple to do, because you have to check many things. You have to do a proper cleanup to make it look like it's not really running, but it kind of is running. And I don't actually think it could be done in a generic way. But maybe there could be some way, like KD init, which would not only prepare the libraries, but maybe would even prepare the K application object or something like that, if somebody of you feels bored and wants to try it. This is a case of avoiding startup of Knotify. Knotify is a system for providing notification about events. It's used for playing sounds when something happens, for showing passive pop-ups, and so on. And basically it's handled by a daemon, which is a separate process, and the application just says, event such and such happened, do something about it. If the user wants to know, tell him. And one of the events is this type of sound. So just the KSM server during startup had to start Knotify and tell it, KD is starting, if the user wants the sound, play it. However, if you turn off the sound, it actually wouldn't be necessary to play it. But it was impossible to find out until Knotify actually was started, which meant one more process to start up, to fire during the startup. So this is another rather bad hack in the class in KD Core, which is used for communicating with the daemon. There is a special code which checks if the application is KD or KSM server. And if it is, it actually doesn't simply tell the daemon, but it tries to do the check itself. And if it finds out, there would be actually no notification about it. It just ignores it and doesn't do anything. But as it is a hack, it will break sooner or later. For example, if there will be a new application which will do some kind of notification during KD startup, this will need to be updated. If there will be some new kind of notification, perhaps, and this check will miss it, then maybe the notification will be missing, because this will avoid starting the daemon, which would do it properly, but since this will avoid it, it will just go wrong. And we have more examples of either on-demand or delayed operations. Delayed means that you just delayed a bit, for example, bookmarks in Conqueror. If you have large bookmarks, it can take quite some time to actually load them, even though you originally don't see them. They are just in one menu. So what is done is that first Conqueror, when started, the normal initialization is done, the window is shown, and then with like a second delay or so, the bookmarks are loaded. So the user already sees the window, sees that it's ready, and it's faster ready. But when he wants to see the bookmarks, it will be it will be actually loaded, because you usually won't access the bookmarks within the first second. But it will look as it is fast. The game menu, this one. Yeah. It's also not built during KDE startup, because it can be quite complex and would take a lot of time to build. But only when you open it for the first time, it's actually built. And there are many more places when we do this. The wallpaper, if you have a maximized window, you don't see the wallpaper. So it actually, it doesn't need to be generated until you, for example, close the application. On the other hand, there are other cases when the startup does really everything, which is probably not needed at all. I know I checked Gate like maybe a year ago, and I saw code which created the search and replace dialog during startup, even if you actually don't use it at all. Maybe if you just want to view a file, this is still going to be created, which is unnecessary. If you want to end up maintaining something, this is the how-to. And this is actually the reason why I ended up being a KV maintainer. As I already mentioned, when you switch, wallpaper is generated only on demand. And what bothered me was that when you switch, I use maximized windows and I use virtual desktops. And I had one maximized window here, and when I switched to another virtual desktop. Yeah, well, I don't have any application. If you use a maximized window on one desktop, and you have it also on another desktop, there is no need to paint the wallpaper. But actually, virtual desktops are called virtual because they are not really there. So if you switch desktops, what actually happens is that the old applications are kind of minimized, and the new ones are shown. And it was done in this order, which meant I'm going to switch a desktop, so I minimize this one, and I show windows on the new desktop. But you could see that in between, the wallpaper was visible. So now, Kevin, what I did, Kevin now has a code which shows a special kind of windows, which don't really have a border. They just show what is behind them. But the trick is that since there is a window above the wallpaper, it doesn't actually cause the wallpaper to be generated because it knows it's hidden by something. Yeah, well, I can see this is way too technical for you, so if you want to end up maintaining something, try to fix something in it, and you'll be eventually lucky and you will maintain it. And this is mostly for people who still remember this. This is definitely the biggest KD optimization ever. For those who still remember, before we had kparts, we used Corba for messaging and for embedding components. And that meant Corba itself was slow, and we had separate processes for everything. Today with kparts, if you show a web page, or for example, if you show a kWord document, Conqueror actually in its own process loads kWord part. But with Corba, you have two processes, which meant longer startup times, and it crashed a lot, and needed a real lot of time to build. And why did we try to use it, actually?
Don Rupen said it's a good idea.
Ah, yeah. Anyway. So, now you have seen some examples. What can be done to make performance better, and what can be done to make it even better? That's unfortunately up to you. Better performance, oops. Better performance doesn't just somehow magically happen. And as already mentioned, it's quite some work, and it's usually the last thing you care about, because you first need to actually write it, then you need to fix it, and only then you can probably be bothered enough to actually make it run fast. So if you are actually interested in improving performance, there is a specialized mailing list. There is no problem with subscribing, because there is almost no traffic. So. You don't have a problem with that. And if you want to make your KD start faster, well, not as fast as it did here, but you can try. You can see the KD performance tips webpage, which lists a lot of the things I did to this notebook. So you can have at least your KD start faster. Well, I guess that's all. Thanks for attention and questions.
When you said about tools that can be used to benchmark, for example, static or something, you didn't mention OProfile. Do you know about OProfile? It's a profile that can profile the whole system, including all applications, all libraries, and so on, And I also profiling. For example, KD startup with OProfile would give some interesting results, because it's basically, if a library has the debugging symbols, it can break down time spent in every function, in every binary. So
Kulon, does the bootchart stuff use OProfile?
No.
Yeah, well. OProfile is a bit like the bootstrap stuff I showed, which described the whole KD startup. And I tried OProfile, but at the time I tried it, it could tell you, if I remember correctly, it had two problems. It showed you so much time was spent in this function, in this library, but it didn't tell you two important things. It told you in which library, but not in which process. And it told you in which function, but it didn't tell you from where it was called. So basically, if it tells you 10% time was spent in let's say, QC string in the Qt library that tells you nothing. You don't know which application did it, you don't know why. It was quite a time since I checked, so this may be better now, but I haven't really used it yet. Well, you can try.
A question? How much difference does the...
I think Valgrind also is able to provide some of this information, especially the core graph. But the nice thing about OProfile is that it, for example, will show you how much time is actually spent with the denotify stuff.
Yeah.
Because it shows also its kernel issues.
Yeah. You can, for example, use also Valgrind for profiling, but the problem there is that it's not real time because it's emulated. So, for example, the OProfile stuff would be good for showing the effect of reading the disk data.
How much difference does hidden visibility make?
I have no idea. Does anybody know?
I didn't actually benchmark the runtime description, but I only did a static analysis looking how many realizations were switched off and how many symbols were hidden from export. That was for a Qt and KDLibs, it was pretty minimalistic, it was about 5 or 10% of symbols and about 10% of annotations that were removed by the digital stuff. But the other stuff we use, like plugins that's initializing the plugin, also only have to export the main function. That's going to be a bigger improvement, but I actually haven't measured the runtime improvement. But at least it removes PLC stops and it removes the rotation, so it can hardly be a slowdown. But I don't know how much actually.
When you're bookmarking the benchmarking bookmarks, that's the stuff of concrete, you've got the bookmarks, for example. So which techniques did you use? Was that the cache graph, or were you looking at it more time than it was Q time?
Well, not all these optimizations were mine, this Conquer bookmark stuff, but I believe that kcachegrind would show you, if you just walk down the tree, I believe you could see the call to load bookmarks or whatever taking a long time. Even if you just did the queue time stuff and just split the Conquer startup, you would see that between the two prints of the time, which has the bookmark logging in the time, you can spend hours just to benchmarking something before you actually find something that would be worth improving.
Another thing to consider is that you mentioned that sometimes changing the data structures, for example, from a vector to a list is has often shows much improvement. But another thing to consider is using some more advanced data structures, such as balanced trees and even real-time balanced trees. But there is a problem that there are really no implementations of these structures in standard libraries, for example. But it could be beneficial in some cases. For example, with real-time balanced trees, you basically get a data structure with every every operation is truly liberative, so.
Actually, QMAP is a red-black tree, which is some kind of a balanced tree. Actually, I don't know. And, well, sometimes you have to consider what you want to achieve, because on the other hand, QMAP has fast lookup, but for example, on the other hand, it takes quite a lot of memory. And if you actually use some tool to check memory usage of application, you will find out that probably the thing which needs most memory, besides the font config and sim stuff, is kconfig. And actually there is the question if using Puma in kconfig is right, because what it does every time you access a kconfig file is that it analyzes all the files and creates the Puma with key and value for everything. And it there are many entries, they are small, so it needs a lot of dynamic memory allocations, since the allocated memory is just small pieces, there is a big overhead for the ML implementation, and it could actually be more efficient just to access the file directly when you really need a key. For example, it might be worth checking, because usually when you use kconfig, you often just use kconfig, set some group, read one or two entries, and just destroy the kconfig. And you don't need to read everything for that. Maybe it just would be better just to read the file, just search for end of file marks, find the right key, read the right value, because that would avoid the memory usage, and they would avoid reading everything or startup. But this needs to be, again, benchmarked first. More questions? Okay, thanks.
Sorry, if you are going to have lunch now, please know that warming, the cafeteria is closing, so you should go. I'll go to a standard bar here. We have some plants in the
reception. You just need time. You need a lot of time for everything if you do this.
Yes.